joined. Has joined. Has joined. has joined.
Has joined.
Good afternoon.
I apologize for being late. Did I lose people?
No, we just been waiting.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So we will be starting with verse 233 in section 18 of Parasha Vayera.
Are we still on?
I'm still on, yes. I'm just getting myself.
Well, it's been thundering and lightning here big time for over 30 minutes, so it's just quieting down, so that's why I wasn't sure.
Understood. You've been on for 30 minutes? It shouldn't start until 7:30.
No, it's been thundering. In fact, we didn't even have phone service.
Oh, okay.
And our cells were, but not the landlines.
I understand. So, Pasuk 233, V'shem Yechud Kudsha Barichu Ishki David, Ki Lurkimu Utki Lurkimu Lurkimu. V'achta L'shem Yudhe Bavante, V'yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, V'ayinu Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Kananeh Aleinu Maaseh Yadenu Kananehu. We all da ki hu li so taaret yabit tahat kob hashamayim ire lekal ho bnei alma lemei havlon mezona v'sipuka lekol ma deit sterich kol chad v'chad Dikti poteach et yadecha, umas bial kol chai ratzon. The translation. This is why it is written, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven, alluding to all the people in the world in order to supply them with food and provisions. Each and every one according to his needs, as it is written, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. My commentary is this pasuk is clear as written, with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Questions, comments, thoughts. Well, I come late and everybody is quiet.
Well, to me, it's clear as written, but I was trying to think. There's one of our rituals, maybe it's at Slinkot, where we actually open our hands when we get to the verse that says, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
That's in Psalm.
Go through my filing cabinet in my head as to, you know, which ritual was it.
It's Ashrei Yoshveh. It's the psalm that starts Ashrei Yoshveh. And
okay.
We say it three times a day. And when we get to Poteach et Yadecha, there's a meditation for the first letters. And it connects to Aleph Yud, and it connects that same gematria, which is 91, connects to Samach Aleph Lamed, which is a 72-letter name. And the last letters are Tet Tav Kaf. And then the balance of the verse is Umasbi'a Lekol Chai Ratzon. And the first letters of the last three words, there are four words in that last phrase, but the last three words, the first letters spell the name Rachel, representing Malchut. So what you're doing is unifying Zeranpin and Malchut, and then manifesting it in Malchut. That's the meditation. It's an extensive unification, actually. And we do that every time we say Poteach et Yadecha. And you say that the same, you say that in the Birkat HaMazon, you say it in the Ashrei Yoshveh. I think it's Psalm 145, but I might be wrong about the number. And that's what's being written here. But here it's starting out with, it is written, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven. And we discussed last night the concept of the ends of the earth. What is the meaning of that phrase? And here it's saying that the understanding of the ends of the earth are the people that are in the world. Each person is an end unto itself, unto him or herself, the manifestation. The real question, or not really question, but as part of the process of the thoughts, Malchut is an end. Why? Because there's nothing below it. There's no continuity. It doesn't continue. And the concept of that end is a person is an end into her or his self. Meaning that, yes, obviously people have continuity because they make children. But within the framework of that person, they are an end unto themselves. The only reason they're reincarnated is because they make mistakes. If they complete their tikkun, they don't come back. And that implies or hints that they are an end unto themselves. And that's why they're being referred to as the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. But that same human being who is an end of its unto itself is able to perceive the whole of the heavens. And the verse is talking about parnasa, it's talking about supplying the desires to the ends of the earth, the people, in order for them to do what they need to do, whatever their desires are. And the tool to manifest that, to draw down from the heavens what is needed in the physical world, is to open up your hands and mentally bring that down from the heavens. The opening of your hands represents the Mayim Nukvim, the female waters. And that's what draws the sustenance, which is the male waters.
Lots of food and provisions during the wilderness. You know, everything, their clothes, their shoes didn't wear out, food, water, you know, everything was there. And of course, in my lifetime, I've never known, you know, what it's like to be hungry because there's no food or no money to buy food.
Okay, sure.
You know, so... when you think it's every person in the world, that's his job.
Well, there are people in the world that you know are do go hungry.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's being discussed right now about the $600 or the $200 extension for the unemployed and how many additional people have lined up for the food banks. Part of the ongoing discussion in this country at this moment. But what the Zohar tells us and what we know from the writings of the sages, there is always enough food, clothing, shelter in the world for every human being in the world at that moment. Even when there's a drought and there's a famine, there's still sufficient food for every human being. So why do we have famines? And why do the people go hungry? Because Hashem has created the hierarchy of rich and poor. And the poor, the resources that poor person needs to get the food that he needs or desires, those resources have been given to the wealthy. They've been given as the additional 10% that doesn't belong to the wealthy person. Except that the wealthy person never learns that. And if he does learn it, even if he learns Kabbalah, he really doesn't think it through and realize that by trying to hold on to that 10%, he is causing the disruption in the world that creates the pain and suffering. And there's a consequence in his life to that.
But there's also the responsibility of the individual. I know in Pirkei Avot in chapter 5, it tells us why there's famine and, you know, it's said that not tithing, and it didn't mean just money because it mentions the dough that we take.
Correct.
All the taking of the dough, so... that's a part of it too.
Yes. But the person who is going hungry, it's because they didn't tithe in a previous life. But that still doesn't excuse the wealthy person who doesn't tithe now and provide for that poor person. It's the same idea. If somebody dies, we know Kabbalah teaches they die because it is their time to die. But if someone becomes the accidental murderer, are we supposed to not feel the pain or the remorse that the accidental murderer went forward? Are we not supposed to feel the pain of the person's family? Yes, he had to die. But why did they have to feel the pain? Kabbalah teaches there's a reason for every action in the world. And when we first start to learn Kabbalah, we really take that to heart. We're just fascinated with that. And I don't mean just me. Many people. We're fascinated. There's a reason for everything, and we now know the reason. But that doesn't excuse us from not feeling the pain of the people who are hurt by that process. What are we fascinated by? At least I was fascinated. I had a reason for everything. And it was really exciting to know the reason. But that's intellect. You have to dig down into the heart, into the emotions, and feel the pain of the other people. The reason we're taught the reason for everything is so that we will reach into ourselves and elevate those emotions. So we will feel the person's pains. At least that's how I perceive the world and the reason for why all of these explanations are given to us. That poor person has the responsibility to go out and work. He has the responsibility to try and do teshuvah. He shouldn't have to experience being poor. If he would only do teshuvah, all of his financial issues would resolve themselves. But how many people, when you're in that situation, don't learn the question, don't learn to tithe? Even when they're told the explanation, it's very easy to say, oh, there's no reincarnation. This is just the way it is, and the world isn't a fair place. It's not just. But the truth is, the world is perfectly just. People just choose not to see the totality. What does it matter to me that they don't see the reality? I have enough food, Bli Ayin Hara. I have enough shelter, Bli Ayin Hara. What does it matter to me that they don't feel the... They don't realize that all they have to do is do teshuvah for tithing, and their financial problems would be over. It matters to me because I need to feel the pain they're experiencing. Are there any more questions or comments, thoughts anybody wants to express? Because we're pretty much out of time. Then I wish you all Shalom Gadol, a beautiful evening. And I hope you'll join us with the questions for the question and answer session. But as I mentioned earlier today, my plans are to utilize this extra time if nobody asks questions or we have time left over on our hour to look at the palm tree of Devorah, Tamar Devorah, in order to learn the traits of Hashem, so that we can know what to emulate of Hashem. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Shalom Gadol.